Thank you for joining us. We're Library on the Go. We bring stories and adventures to you. I'm Ms. Laura.
And I'm Ms. Barbara.
Of the Cortez Public Library. And today Ms. Barbara has about three stories for you during our showtime.
Our first one is called Danny Diamondback by Barry E. Jackson, published by HarperCollins. Way out yonder in the harsh, cruel desert, there lived a little rattlesnake named Danny Diamondback. And one day his ma and pa decided to go to a nearby town to coil up behind the drive-in picture show. They kissed Danny on the nose and slithered off. Sadly, when Danny awoke the next morning, his parents were nowhere to be found. At sundown, a crow landed on a tree near Danny's home. "Your mammy and pappy got caught by human folk and are living at the zoo. They say you got to go out and make a life for yourself now." Terrified, Danny wedged his head into the corner and shut his eyes. But after a while, he reckoned his ma and pa knew best. So for the first time, he slid out of the rock nest and entered the wide world. Danny went no farther than a stone's throw before he spied a couple of jackrabbits. Rattling his tail, Danny hissed, "Excuse me, y'all. I was wondering if maybe you'd like to be my new ma and pa." Them jackrabbits tore a hole through the sagebrush faster than a bolt of lightning. Puzzled, Danny shook his head. You see, his ma and pa had never told him he was a deadly, poisonous snake. Later, Danny spotted a family of sparrows coiling around the tree trunk. He worked his way upward and peered all shy-like from behind a branch. Danny rattled his tail. "Hey, y'all," he hissed, "how about a game of Twister?" Them birds screeched in horror and shot like bullets in all directions. Danny was wondering if he had forgotten to brush his teeth. For days, every critter Danny met ran from him in terror. Danny slid sadly on until he spied a town of prairie dogs. "Pardon me," Danny hissed, rattling his tail. "You all have the loveliest neighborhood. Would you prairie dogs perchance mind a guest?" When the dust settled, Danny looked around to find himself alone again. Hearing a voice, he looked over to see a prairie dog sifting through the sand with his paws. The little prairie dog cried, "Help, help! I can't find my glasses!" Danny slithered over. "Where'd you last see 'em?" Without his glasses, the prairie dog thought Danny was a lizard. "My name is Pablo," he said. "You must be new to these parts." Danny introduced himself, but declined to shake hands, saying he had a cold. Pablo invited Danny to his house. "I got me another pair of glasses," murmured Pablo. He felt around, and he placed his hand on a trumpet. "Can you play it?" asked Danny. Pablo played a little tune. Downright dazzled, Danny wanted to clap, but since he couldn't, he unfortunately did something else. He rattled his tail. A big grandma prairie dog burst in and commenced to shrieking, like her tail was afire. Then a big old bullfrog landed between Pablo and Danny, throwing roundhouse kicks. "No," cried Pablo, "he is my amigo." The hullabaloo simmered. "Okay, Pablo," sighed the old grandma. "He can stay for one day, but our neighbors better not learn that you made friends with a rattlesnake." The next day, Danny tried not to rattle his tail. He tried to be helpful-like. He straightened up Pablo's room, sweeping the floor, and helped prepare supper. He ate sunflower seeds just like a prairie dog, although at home his ma had served him small bugs. After dinner, Pablo's family played music. Danny wanted to play too, so Pablo tried him out on the piccolo, but Danny didn't do too well, not having any fingers and all. "Amigo," said the bullfrog, "I think you can play those rattles on your tail."
"You mean these?" asked Danny.
"Si, maracas," said the bullfrog with a laugh. Then he got out a pair of bongo drums and showed Danny some Latin rhythm. Although at first a mite wayward, Danny learned how to rattle at just the right moment. Danny gave a new spark to their music. "Amigos," bellowed the bullfrog, "let's take this new music on the road."
"With a rattlesnake?" gasped the grandma.
The bullfrog slapped a big sombrero on Danny's head and laughed. "With this on, who's going to know?" They called themselves the Hoppin' Jalapenos, and the next night they played a small rock crevice. The next thing you know, bugs commenced to flying far and wide, spreading the news. And for a spell, the critters in those parts laid down their hostile ways and took to dancing. Danny finally fit in. That is, until he forgot he was a rattlesnake. One night, lost in the rhythm, he flung his head back and sent his sombrero a-flying. He gyrated in front of those critters, fangs a-gleaming and tail a-rattling.
"He'll kill us all," squealed the kangaroo rat.
Sunrise found Danny alone again. The peculiar ways of the other critters finally had him beat. He reckoned he'd head for the hills alone, and turning away, he caught a glimpse of a desert tortoise.
"Oh, Mr. Tortoise," called Danny, "why don't folks like rattlesnakes?"
"Well, sonny," replied the tortoise slowly, "they strike quicker than lightning. Their bite can kill a horse, and if that ain't enough, they are the only critter bold enough to warn you before they kill you."
Danny gasped. "Is that what them rattles is for?" The tortoise laughed.
"Of course. Even a gadfly knows that."
3 months later, feeling lower than a snake's belly, Danny lay under a rock up in the hills. He tried to remember the good times. Suddenly, coyote howls pierced the sky. Over yonder, Danny spied a whole pack of them sniffing low to the ground and headed in the direction of Pablo's home. Danny remembered his friends and hightailed it for the prairie dog town. Them coyotes swaggered into town, hungry for a picnic. Out popped Danny, hissing and a-rattling like no tomorrow. The coyotes leaped back. Then they sized up this ornery critter, and they noticed the rhythm in Danny's rattling.
"You ain't that maraca player from the Hoppin' Jalapenos, are you?" asked the leader.
"Dadgum if I ain't," said Danny.
"Well, whoop me with a hickory stick," cried the leader. "Any chance we can get an autograph?"
"If you leave the prairie dogs be," answered Danny.
"Not a problem," cried them coyotes.
Danny signed autographs for the whole pack, and the coyotes moseyed on, happy to have met a famous musician. The prairie dogs rose to stand in awe of their new hero, Danny Diamondback, and the mayor called for a fiesta. And don't you know, that fiesta was more fun than a hog-calling contest in Tuscaloosa. By the end of the night, all them critters was dancing round in a conga line, and Danny lived the rest of his days with his new friends as musician, protector, and member of the family. The end.
You've got to come by the library and check this book out. The pictures are charming.
Yes,
they really
they are.
They're great. Yeah, you're just joining us. You're on Library on the Go on KSJD Dryland Community Radio, 90.5 and 91.5 FM.
Our second story today is A Small Brown Dog with a Wet Pink Nose, written by Stephanie Stuveboden, illustrated by Lindsay Hunter, published by Little Brown and Company. Excuse me, my tongue's getting tied up today. Amelia wanted a dog, but not just any dog. Every day she asked her parents, "May I have a small brown dog with a wet pink nose?" And every day the reply was the same. "Oh, no," said Amelia's mother, and Amelia's father added, "We're just not ready for a dog." That didn't stop Amelia from asking every day, just in case they changed their mind. But one morning, Amelia asked a different question. "But if we did have a dog, could we name him Bones?" "Oh, yes," said Amelia's mother, and Amelia's father added, "That's a fine name for a dog." After breakfast, Amelia asked, "If we did have a dog, could he live with us in the house?" "Of course," said Amelia's mother, and Amelia's father added, "A dog would be part of the family." A bit later, on the way to school, Amelia asked another question. "If we had a dog, could he sit by me in the car and look out the window?" "Oh, yes," said Amelia's mother. Amelia's father added, "That would be a grand place for him to sit." And while Amelia was putting on her shin guards for soccer practice, she asked, "If we had a dog, could I walk him every day?" "Oh, yes," said Amelia's mother, and Amelia's father added, "Exercise would be very good for him." During dinner, Amelia looked at her peas and asked, "If we had a dog, could I feed him?" "Oh, yes," said Amelia's mother. Amelia's father added, "Feeding a dog is very important." That night, Amelia snuggled down in her bed and wiggled her toes, and she asked, "If we had a dog, could he sleep with me?" "Oh, yes," said Amelia's mother. Amelia's father added, "He'd keep your toes warm." And just before her parents turned out the light, Amelia asked one more question. "If we did have a dog and he got lost, would we find him and bring him back?" "Oh, yes," said Amelia's mother. Amelia's father added, "We wouldn't stop looking until we found him." A few days later, Amelia's mother was standing in the kitchen when Amelia called out, "Shut the door so Bones won't get out." "Who's Bones?" asked Amelia's mother. Amelia smiled. "Our new dog. He's small and brown with a wet pink nose." Amelia's mother didn't see a small brown dog with a wet pink nose, but she firmly latched the door anyway. A bit later, Amelia's father was about to sit in his favorite chair when Amelia screeched, "Don't sit there, you'll squish Bones." "Who is Bones?" "He's our new dog. He's small and brown with a wet pink nose." Amelia's father did not see a small brown dog with a wet pink nose, but he sat on the couch instead of his favorite chair anyway. And all week long, Amelia and Bones did everything together. Bones lived in the house with Amelia and her parents. On the way to school, Bones sat next to Amelia so he could look out the window. And before soccer practice, Amelia walked Bones up and down the sidewalk. During dinner, Amelia shared her food with Bones. Lucky for her, he loved green vegetables. At night, Bones snuggled up next to Amelia in bed and kept her toes very warm. Amelia and Bones were very happy. Until one morning, when Amelia's toes were cold when she woke up, Amelia ran into the kitchen sobbing, "He's gone!" "Who's gone?" asked Amelia's mother and father at the very same time. "Bones," Amelia sniffed. "You promised if we had a dog and he was lost, we'd find him." "Oh," started Amelia's mother. "Well, we," began Amelia's father. "You promised." "Oh, yes, we did promise," said Amelia's mother. And Amelia's father added, "Let's go look for Bones." The family drove around the neighborhood. They drove past the barber shop. None of them, not even Amelia, saw Bones. They drove past the local coffee house. They drove past the library. They drove past the music theater. The family drove nearly everywhere, but none of them, not even Amelia, saw Bones. "Can we check at the animal shelter?" asked Amelia, who was starting to look like she might cry again. Amelia's father and mother looked at each other. They hadn't planned on checking there. Before they entered the animal's shelter, Amelia asked, "Do you promise we can bring Bones home if he's there?" "Oh, yes," said Amelia's mother. Amelia's father added, "If we see Bones, we'll bring him home." Inside, there were lots of dogs. They all began barking when they saw Amelia. Amelia saw a yappy white dog like her grandma's. She saw a poofy black dog like the neighbor's. She even saw a chunky yellow dog that looked rather like her school principal. Then Amelia grinned. "There he is, the small brown one with the wet pink nose. Do you see him?" They did see a small brown dog with a wet pink nose. In fact, they saw a lot of small brown dogs with wet pink noses. "Oh, yes," said Amelia's mother. Amelia's father added, "We see him." But Amelia pointed to one in particular as she hopped from one foot to the other. "So can we take him home?" Amelia smiled. She waited while a certain special small brown dog with a wet pink nose was led to them. Amelia's father looked at Amelia's mother. "I thought we weren't ready for a dog." Amelia's mother looked back at Amelia's father. "We may never be ready, but Amelia certainly is." And they both looked at Amelia and nodded. "We found you," said Amelia loudly as she hugged the small brown dog with the wet pink nose. Amelia whispered in his ear, "And if anybody asks, your name is Bones." The end.
I say her parents were very outmaneuvered.
Very much so.
They don't stand a chance.
No, sometimes some of these kids are just a little bit too smart for us.
Oh, you're joining Library on the Go. We're on KSJD, Dryland Community Radio, 90.5 and 91.5 FM. And the song at the start was B-I-N-G-O. Since we had a dog in one of our stories. B-O-N-E-S.
B-O-N-E-S, yes. This is our last story for today, and this is called Agatha's Featherbed, Not Just Another Wild Goose Story. Written by Carmen Agra Deedy, illustrated by Laura L. Seeley, published by Peachtree. Do you see that little shop sandwiched between two skyscrapers? The shop belongs to my friend Agatha. She spins yarn and weaves cloth, which she sells. The patterns she weaves are so amazing and the colors so beautiful that people come from all over Manhattan to buy her wares. Agatha loves to talk, and she tells wonderful stories. In fact, you could say Agatha can spin a yarn better than anyone I know. Here's one she told me the other day, and I know it must be true because even Agatha couldn't have made this one up. One afternoon, a little boy was shopping with his mother in Agatha's fabric shop. He was very bored and began playing with a shiny scrap of red cloth. Agatha leaned down and said to him, "That's silk. Do you know where it comes from?" He shook his head. "It comes from worms," said Agatha. "Worms?" he exclaimed. "Why, yes, silkworms," said Agatha. "Wow, what kind of worms does this come from?" he asked, holding up a ball of purple cotton yarn. "That's a very good question," Agatha replied. "That's cotton. But it doesn't come from a worm at all. It comes from a cotton boll that grows right out of the ground." "What about the rest of this stuff?" asked the boy. "Does it come from neat places, too?" "Oh, yes, this is wool, and it comes from sheep. That's easy." "You're right," she said. "Now this cloth is linen. Feel how stiff it is. I'll bet you can't guess where it comes from." The boy thought and thought, and finally he asked, "Where does it come from?" "From a plant called flax," answered Agatha. "Let me tell you something I tell all my customers, especially children. Everything comes from something. Nothing comes from nothing. Just like paper comes from trees, and glass comes from sand, an answer comes from a question. All you have to do is ask." It made the little boy smile. That evening, after everyone had gone home, Agatha went upstairs to her apartment. Several months earlier, she had ordered a new feather bed from her favorite catalog, B.B. Lean. It had just arrived that very day. Her old mattress was so lumpy and bumpy, it was like sleeping on coal lumps and cherry pits. Quickly she changed into her nightgown and brushed and flossed her teeth. She took out the tortoiseshell pins, and her long hair fell and fell and fell until it lay in little swirls around her feet. Then she brushed it with her boar bristle brush. Agatha never even finished her 100 strokes. She was so eager to try out her new mattress. She settled into bed, and in minutes she was asleep. Agatha dreamed that her room was filled with strange sounds, hushed whispers, and the pitter-patter of little feet. Suddenly she awoke with a start as she heard her window close with a thud. She turned slowly in bed and saw that standing across her windowsill were 6 naked geese. They were shivering in the cold and covered with goosebumps. She caught them just as they had ducked out. Agatha stared and stared. You could have knocked her over with a feather. At last she opened the window and asked, "May I help you?" The smallest goose, Sidney, stepped into the room. He pointed his pink little wing at Agatha's bed and said, "We want our feathers back." "What?" asked Agatha. "Feathers, Agatha, feathers. You know, we've been listening. Everything comes from something. Nothing comes from nothing. Just like paper comes from trees and glass comes from sand." "The feathers in a feather bed don't grow on trees, my dear," said the little goose. "Where did you think the feathers in your feather bed came from?" Agatha looked at the bed, and she looked at the geese, and she looked at the bed, and she looked at the geese. Something in her sensed that her goose was cooked. "I have to tell you we mean business, Agatha," said Sidney. "I wouldn't mess with a gaggle of angry naked geese. We're not just a bunch of quacks. This could get ugly." But Agatha had already made up her mind. She had worked hard to earn the money to buy that feather bed, and yet she thought, what about those poor plucky little guys out there in the cold? "I tell you what," said Agatha, a little down in the mouth, "get back to me in 3 days. Trust me." And she gave them her credit card so they could book up at the downtown motel. Taking this as a sign of goodwill, they left quietly. They hoped she wasn't sending them on a wild goose chase. Agatha didn't waste a minute. She went downstairs to her sewing room, snatched her scissors, and got to work. For 3 days she didn't open her shop or speak to anyone. On the third night, just as they'd agreed, the geese came tapping at her window. This time Agatha was expecting them. She had left the window open, and she smiled to herself as they popped in, one by one. "We're back, Agatha," said Sidney. "We had a great time with that credit card. They kept wanting to give us a bill, but we just said, 'No thanks, the last thing we need is another bill,' and then—" But he never finished his sentence. As he looked across the room, he saw hanging on her wall were 6 white fleecy coats. Agatha had spun and woven and sewn each one. The geese were extremely grateful and thanked her kindly. Each goose slipped into his new coat and took a gander in the mirror. As they were about to leave, Sidney turned to Agatha and said, "You know, Agatha, these are really magnificent coats. Whatever did you make them from?" Agatha sat up in bed, and the geese saw that their coats were made from Agatha's hair, and Agatha smiled and said, "Everything comes from something. I have your feathers, you have my hair. What's good for the goose is good for the gander, eh, Sidney?" "Oh, Agatha," said one of the geese, "you keep us in stitches." "By the way, Agatha," said Sidney, chuckling, "your hair looks just ducky, and lucky for you and me, hair grows back, just like feathers." Agatha says she's never heard another honk from her fine feather friends. However, someone's been leaving fresh goose eggs on her doorstep every morning. Where do goose eggs come from, anyway? The end.
There's a lot of wordplay going on there.
Yes. A lot of puns or whatever you want to call them.
A lot of fun. Thank you for joining us. We have a few announcements to make. You're joining us on KSJD Dryland Community Radio, 90.5 and 91.5 FM. We have regular story times every Thursday at 10:30 in the morning at the library, and also through the season at the Farmers Market on Saturday, and here on KSJD every Sunday at 3:30 in the afternoon. We'd love to have you join us. We're also not really in the middle, but almost in the middle of our summer reading program season, which started on May 22nd. It's still not too late to come pick up a reading log. Don't lose those reading skills over the summer. We have prizes, and we have a drawing for actually six big prizes at the end, but we also have a prize for you when you reach halfway. And also, you'll get a book every 8 hours that you read. So please do come by. It's a great program. And this coming Wednesday, which will be, which date, Ms. Berger?
Wednesday will be the 2nd of July.
The 2nd of July. Yes, the library will be open. And we'd love to have you come by and listen to Dan Crow Concoctions. That's at 2 o'clock on Wednesday, July 2nd. And Dan is a great entertainer, and I think you'll love his show. I don't know if Miss Barbara has anything to say. Miss Barbara has been really a crucial member of the children's program. She helps out during the performances, during May when we get crazy and have a lot of school visits. She helps out with that, does the radio show, does the story time. Really, I want to publicly thank her for helping out.
I appreciate that, but I enjoy that. This is my kid fix to do.
Yes, Miss Barbara has a background with children. She was a preschool teacher.
Long time ago.
But, you know, really, kids really do remain the same. They usually have the same needs and the same wants. And we try to fulfill your reading needs at the library. And Miss Barbara always encourages people to get library cards and to come in and check out books. She's probably really helped boost our circulation.
I hope so.
Now, if you like, we will play bingo in honor of Bones. Thank you for joining us.